sing one more just before the pastor comes this evening. Sing a one, taste so sweet, trust in Jesus. Just to take him out of his word, just to rest upon his promise as we hear the gospel of the Lord.
Turn to the book of Hebrews, just a short verse, a verse that everyone knows well. Hebrews. Verse 8. And I want to just take four sayings that I've used before. You know, I was preparing for someone else tonight, but I really felt to bring this message and maybe encourage you tonight for to believe God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that you truly are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, because of this scripture, we believe you're here tonight, because we're gathered in your name, and you have promised, for two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst, and that to bless us. Lord, we're looking to you for the blessing tonight. Pressed down and running over the top. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless your word till our hearts. Give us absolute clarity of speech. Touch the lips of clay. To speak the right things tonight, Lord, rid us of fear and of unbelief. Cleanse us and sanctify us afresh by the washing of your word tonight and the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I ask again for those that's laid aside with sickness. We believe you've already touched them, that you will continue to heal them and deliver them. For Brother Keith or Sister Eileen, for William and James, and for others maybe not mentioned tonight, may the hand of God be upon them and may they be healed in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I ask for those that heard your word this morning. Lord, you promised that your word will not return void, but it accomplish the thing which you send it to do. And Lord, I pray that people will get saved. Because you said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So Lord, we look for your help right now and ask that you'll encourage and strengthen each and every one. And Lord, if someone in this room tonight needs a touch, as your word is presented, may you touch them and deliver them and heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless each one tonight. Praise God. I want to just take for the text from this about the great miracle worker. I preached about it before, but the four nevers of the great miracle worker. Four nevers of this great miracle worker. Now everything I read in this book called the Bible, the work of God of the great miracle worker Jesus Christ, is unchanged. So therefore it is continually remains the same. When you read this book, it's an unchanged book. When you read about the ministry of Jesus Christ, it's an unchanged ministry. When you read about the message of Jesus Christ, it's an unchanged message. There is no message that will be better than the message of Jesus Christ, for it's unchanged. When you read of His power, it's unchanged power. When you read of His presence, whatever His presence was 2,000 years ago, He Himself promised, I am going away, but I will send unto you another Comforter in my name. And He will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. His presence will be unchanged. First thing tonight is the great ministry of this miracle worker, Jesus Christ, is unchanged. His ministry is unchanged today. It remains the same. I want you to grasp this tonight, because so many of us don't, and so many preachers don't. But I am telling you, in the authority of this one verse, Hebrews 13 verse 8, this verse declares Him to be the same yesterday, and today, and forever. The same, unchanged. Today we're living in a world that changes. We're living in changing times, but the ministry of Jesus Christ has never changed. In Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and diseases, and all manner of diseases, all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, went about healing. Are you hearing me? He went about healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses. Every ailment there is a cure for it, Jesus. Every disease there is a cure for it, Jesus is the cure. I don't care about something that they claim they've never saw before, whether it's a blood issue, whether it's a physical issue of the body, whether it's an inherited issue. I don't care tonight, whatever it is, Jesus Christ is able to cure it, because that's what He does. Now there may render whatever he did before, he still does. Because he's unchanged. This is the bit I want you to get tonight. Whatever you read about what Jesus done when he was here on earth, he promised that he would send the Holy Ghost to continue the same work. Not a different work. Not a different message. But the same message and the same work. So I want you to see his ministry as the same. Praise God, it's unchanged. So if the ministry is unchanged, he's still a miracle worker ministry. In Matthew 9:35 it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Isn't it quite something that in 1946 when the angel came to William Moran Branham, the angel said to William Moran Branham, you are going to take a gift of healing to the nations of the world. Isn't it then interesting when T.L. Osborne came to one service? Now remember, T.L. Osborne was already a preacher. He had already been out in India and he came home with absolute failure. He said he had the Bible and they had the Quran. He preached the Bible, they preached the Quran, and he says there wasn't much to it. He came home a failure. And Daisy Osborne, his wife, brought him to one service to William Branham, and he saw the power of God in action. And the voice went over Tito Osborne's head and says, you can't do the other, but you can do this. You're not the prophet. You don't have that gift, but you can do this. You can be praying for the sick. You can see the sick healed. And he went home and he locked himself away with God and he sought God and he says, Jesus himself appeared to him. Some people don't believe that. That makes no difference to me. I believe it. Because the evidence is there. And you know T.L. Osborne had a miracle ministry. God mightily used him. And he preached a simple gospel. I tell you, God did that. Because God was showing again that he's still a great miracle worker. It's the first never. His ministry has never changed. He's still a miracle worker. If you take the miracles out of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, what have you got left? If you take the miracles out of this Old Testament, what have you got left? I want to tell you tonight that this is a miracle book. From Genesis the whole way to Revelation, this is a miracle book. The God we serve is a miracle working God. Amen. And we should be fit to say, like an old preacher used to say, every time they got to the pulpit they used to say, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Never changed. Jesus Christ was a great miracle worker then, and thank God he's still a great miracle worker in 2019. He has come to cleanse, to save, to heal, deliver from devils and demons, the healer of the sick, and to create new life. That's what Jesus does. He heals, he delivers, he saves. You know the Bible says in Luke's Gospel, quoting from Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to heal the sick and to set the captives free and to break open the prison doors. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord God is upon him to do that. Now if we claim to have the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit coming on us, the same thing should follow. People talk about the evidence, the evidence, the evidence. Nothing ever follows when then there's something wrong. I don't care what they call evidence. Because where the Holy Spirit is, things happen. Amen. Amen. Secondly, the power of this great miracle worker, Jesus Christ, has not changed. So his ministry has never changed, and the second thing is his power. It's never changed. Whatever power Jesus had 2,000 years ago, he has that same power tonight. Not only is his ministry not changed, but thank God his power has not changed. John 1 verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is so powerful, He just made it. Do you think it would be a problem when a prophet of God said he had the vision of the little room and the voice said, I will meet you in there. And he said, it will come to pass before the rapture that limbs will be created upon people. And it won't be a public show, but it will be to God's chosen people. Now, if God can make the world, and one place says worlds, and we know that a man called Smith Wigglesworth told a man that had no feet to go in the next day and get himself a pair of shoes of his choice, and he argued about it. And not only did he argue about it, he sat up all night and he argued with God about it. And God told him, go and do what my servant told you. And he was at the shoe shop the next morning. And when he went in and he asked the man for certain shoes, the man said, not to be funny, sir, but you have no feet. And he said, I never asked you for the feet. I just asked you for the shoes. God will do the undertaking of the feet. And he put two stumps into two shoes and God made him a pair of feet. So this is not something that's a way out, that's never happened or can't be done, but we are talking about something that God has already been doing.
Amen.
Because His power has never changed. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. No beginning, no ending. Revelation tells us that. The first begotten of the dead, the first, the last, the living one. God is the eternal, unchanging one. In Colossians 1:16 it tells us, for by Him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created by Him and for Him. He made the devil. So the devil definitely hasn't got power over God or Jesus. He made him. He made him. And Jesus Christ has power and authority over every demon, power and over every devil. He spoke the sun and the moon into being. When He spoke the raging sea, it became calm. Creation itself obeyed His voice. He took a boy's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 small fishes, and fed 5,000. Then after that, all had eaten, His disciples took up 12 baskets that remained. Matthew 14:21 tells you that. And if you study the Word of God, every single Word of God for reason, 12 baskets, because He was dealing with the Jewish people, and the Bible says a great number of Jews came, and 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel. But then you read on down in chapter 15, verse 34, He fed 7,000 with a boy's lunch, 7 small loaves and a few small fishes. And He's dealing here with Gentiles. Because the Bible said a great number of Gentiles came, and He took up 7 baskets, because 7 represents the Gentiles, 7 church ages. Not only was it 7 baskets, but these were bigger than the 12 baskets, because the Bible tells you that they let the man down through the roof in a basket. And this is the same type of 7 baskets. If it could hold the man and let him down through the roof, these were 7 big baskets that filled what was left. That's the power of God. That's what Jesus is able to do. We limit God, but God's not limited. We can limit Him when we're praying, we can limit Him at other times, but God is not limited. The Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above what we can think or even ask Him He's able to do. He walked on the water. He spoke to the dead and they came forth again. Lazarus did. What did He say when He reached the grave of Lazarus? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what Jesus said. One of this great miracle workers, not only did he do that, but he cast the demons out of the man of Gadarenes, possessed with devils. Nobody could pass that way. Nobody could go near him. They chained him. They bound him. They done all sorts of things to him. But one word from the great miracle worker, his power delivered him. And he said the demons come out of him. And they went straight out of him into the swine. He ran down into the water. And William Branham says the pig trade ceased in that country. Because they all got drowned. The pigs did. What's your Bible say? It says that he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. When Jesus Christ's power touches you, it will clothe you and put you on your feet and put you in your right mind. That's the power of this great miracle worker. Luke 5 and 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. And that's the text I preached a sermon from, that text in Africa. The power of the Lord was present. And this is where you have a man with a palsy, and palsy means crippled. And they let him down through the roof, and Jesus says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up your bed and walk." And he took up his bed and he walked. That's the power of God. I tell you, the power of God's never changed. The power of God remains the same. He spake to this crippled man and he was healed, made whole. What about in one of the meetings, a brother farmer, in one of William Branham's meetings, I sent out on that site today a testimony of it. You hear so many people today, "I don't believe William Branham was a prophet. I don't believe this, don't believe that, don't believe someone else." Well, if you go and talk to this brother farmer, you've been troubled. You talk with that now. He's no time for that. He had braces on his feet. They told him he never walked right. His feet bent inward, his ankles. He was crippled. And his father heard of it, William Branham, and discernment. And you know what his father said? His father said, "I've seen enough of this nonsense. Where there's guesswork. Somebody's a sore back, and somebody's a sore this and that." And he says, "That's buckshot discernment." That's what he called it. You know what buckshot discernment is? How many's got a shotgun? Fire it out, it'll hit something. And he says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sit right in the back. But he can't see me. So he'll not be able to pick me out or anything like that." And that man's father praying. And he said, "Lord, if William Branham's a true prophet, have him tell me about my boy." And William Branham, right in the meeting, says, "There's a man sitting at the back, and your boy's crippled in the ankle, braces on him. But the Lord's heard you, and your faith touched God, and he's healed." And he was healed. And that man testifies of it. I tell you, I believe our God is accurate. When Jesus himself was here on earth, he was accurate. There was no guesswork with Jesus. He knew exactly your address. He knew the number in your door. He knows it tonight still, because he's still unchanged. And his power's unchanged. Do you believe that tonight when I'm preaching here? One touch from the Master and the eyes of the blind open. One word from the lovely Savior and the fever leaves. No matter how vile the sinner that came to Jesus, Jesus said, "Go your way and sin no more, lest the worst thing comes upon you." Jesus had compassion. He had compassion on people. We must have compassion. One word from the great miracle worker, Jesus Christ, and our greatest enemy, sin, was defeated and destroyed by the power of his blood. His ministry's unchanged. His power's unchanged. Number 3. His teachings don't change. We don't need to tell somebody to tell us a new way to get to heaven. We don't need somebody to tell us a new way to get saved. Jesus Christ preached it. What did he preach? John 3. He preached, you must come born again. That's what Jesus preached. John 7:46. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. I tell you, you don't tell me that there's better preachers than Jesus, there's not. I hear people saying, such and a brother did more than Jesus. That's blasphemy, do you know that? Because it's Jesus doing it. It's not that no brother. It's not a brother doing it. It's Jesus doing it. He might use brother here and a brother there, but it's Jesus Christ doing it. If we can do it by ourselves, we wouldn't need the Lord. We can't do it. The Bible tells us we can't even create an anxious thought. We can't add our stature one cubic, but take a thought. We need the Lord. That's why Jesus said he's going to send the power of the Holy Ghost in the church. Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher that ever lived. Not only was he the greatest teacher that ever lived, but he sent back the Holy Spirit to teach you and lead you and guide you. The Bible says you need no man to teach you, for the anointing you have received will teach you all things. Not the Word of God? Is that the Word of God? The Holy Spirit teaches us. Thank God for this great teacher. He spoke like no other man. He taught us that God was our Father in Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. God's our Father. He taught us the new birth. John 3:3-7. Let me read it. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look, this man Nicodemus was a ruler of Jews, a teacher. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. This is how Jesus taught the new birth. I hear people preach today. I heard a man once, and he preached about being born again. And he took an awful time preaching about being born again. And he didn't know what he's preaching about, and don't think himself. Jesus didn't preach 50 sermons to Nicodemus and been born again. Jesus preached a few words to him, and Nicodemus got something. Amen. How many believes that? Because he had the words of eternal life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is what the Lord taught us, to be born again. These are the teachings of Jesus. This is not the teachings that belong to the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Methodist or the Presbyterian. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. No. They belong to Jesus Christ. No denomination. And if we say we're preaching the message, there's only one message to preach. How can we preach a different message than Jesus preached? William Branham preached Jesus Christ. Paul preached Jesus Christ. All God's servants preach Jesus Christ. And we must preach Jesus Christ. Mark 5:36, he taught us not to fear. Mark 9:23, he taught us to believe for all things. Jesus saith, all them that thou canst believe, all things are possible in the believer. These are the teachings of Jesus. Jesus teaches us to be saved. Jesus teaches us to receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus teaches us don't fear. Jesus teaches us believe for everything. That's the teachings of Jesus. I believe the teachings of Jesus Christ. Amen. He taught us that we have even a little faith, small faith, that's enough to move the mountain. Luke 17:6, and the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Small faith. Small faith moves a sycamore tree. Small faith can move a mountain. Small faith. You know the greatest mustard seed's just about the smallest seed. How many likes mustard? I love mustard. Every time I eat something, mustard on it. You know mustard's a preacher's trick, tip. Do you know the preacher's tip, the mustard? If you're preaching a lot and you get hoarse, mustard on the hand, lick it, preach on it. An old preacher gave me that tip years ago, it works. Lick the mustard, preach on, the voice goes back. Preacher's tip, mustard. But you know how small a mustard seed is? Imagine from your little mustard pot and the little thing you put the mustard out, if you could just get one wee granule, it would be almost impossible just to put one out. But it would be small, wouldn't it? But that one small mustard seed is enough, he says. So the Lord's not asking you to have some sort of super faith, but just a little faith in a great big God. And God can do anything because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. The teaching of Jesus has never changed. He taught us that the works that I do shall ye do also. John 14 verse 12. He also said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. These are the teachings of Jesus. Jesus taught us we can do the same works. Because he says he's sending us in his name. We're not going in the name of some organization. We go in the name of the Lord. Then Zerubbabel saith, not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. Who are you, great mountain? He was cast into the sea. What are you going to do it by the night? Do you believe the teachings of Jesus? The teachings of Jesus says you can do it. The teachings of Jesus says if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The teachings of Jesus says you speak with new tongue. It doesn't say lay the tongues in the shelf. It doesn't say get a minister to preach against tongues.
Amen.
None of the teachings of Jesus talk like that. Amen. Jesus himself spoke in tongues.
Yes.
Spoke in tongues when he went to the little girl who was dead. And he said, Talitha kum, child, arise. He spoke in tongues when he's hanging to the cross. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ spoke in tongues. William Branham said, this end time church should be a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church. Oh, you're quiet, but I'm not worried a bit about it. For it's the truth. Do you believe it tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. The teaching of this great miracle worker has never changed. This great miracle worker still today confirms his own word. You don't need to confirm it. You see, if you've got the opinion, preach or do something, you've got it all wrong. It's Jesus that'll do it. Amen. Jack Cole said, I couldn't do a thing. He says, I couldn't heal a fly but had a headache. But he says, he can.
Amen.
You know when Jack Cole, God told Jack Cole to have a healing meeting, and Jack Cole went to his pastor, and he said, I want to have a healing service. And the pastor said, what are you going to do when it fails? And he said, what are you going to do when it's a success?
Amen.
And he said, but it might be a success. And Cole said, but what if it is a success? Jack Cole held the healing service. And he says they lined up. And he says that line kept getting longer. Because they kept coming in the line. And he said he prayed for toothaches, headaches, and all sort of aches. But he says there was a blind person and he kept putting them to the back of the line. And he says every word he was praying for that blind person. And he said, eventually they reached him. And he said, God spoke to them. And God said to him, Jacko, whatever made you think you could open the blind eyes of the blind? And he says, forgive the Lord again. And he says, then let me do it. And Jacko laid his hands upon that blind person. And he said, can you see? And they said, they can see men like trees. And he said, the scripture came to them. When Jesus prayed for somebody that was blind, and they said, I can see men like trees. He prayed again, and they said, I can see, I can see. And Jacko prayed again, and their eyes come open. And they said, I can see, I can see. His power's never changed. His ministry's never changed. His power's never changed. His teaching's never changed. Here's my last thought tonight, the fourth thing. The presence of this miracle worker has never changed. You said, I don't feel his presence. God's promised to be here. He has promised. Not up to me. He's promised. He has promised. His presence will be with us. His presence has never changed. You know, when the Lord's present, things happen. The teaching, the presence of this great miracle worker, Jesus Christ, is still promised to be the same. It's never changed. Matthew 18:20 says, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus has promised to be in the midst when we gather in his name. We're not gathered in the name of the lodge or in some organization. We are gathered here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. God's chosen place of worship. It's where he put his name. Where did God put his name? God put his name in his son, Jesus Christ. And that's where you meet. You meet in Jesus Christ. And God will meet you right there, because God's in Christ. John 12:32 says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. When you lift up Jesus, he'll do the rest. Not your theories, not your thoughts, but Jesus. He's the one. And we know he was lifted up with the cross 2,000 years ago. And he paid for our salvation, he paid for our healing, he paid for everything 2,000 years ago. He paid for it. But he wants us to believe it tonight that he's still the same. He's never changed. Whoever two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. And not to bless. Let me read you this from God's chosen place of worship. There's the Lamb, the real Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He didn't say, here comes the Methodist, here comes the Baptist or the Catholic. He said, there comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The only safety shown there is in that Lamb of God. In him alone is salvation. Not in any church, any creed, any people, any father, any mother, any holy man, or nothing. Holy place. It's in the holy God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where God placed his name on a human being for redemption, who paid the price for us sinners. That's the only place that there's salvation. That's the rock I'm standing on. Jesus Christ. What are you depending on tonight? You depending on the Lord? And I'm closing. I'm almost finished. Wherever the word of God is preached, he is there to make it good. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing wherein I send it. That's the word of God. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The Lord has promised to be with you. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now hold that for one moment. If he's promised never to leave you, if he's promised never to forsake you, if Jesus Christ is truly with you, these four facts of Scripture are with you. Where did you get that? The Lord's not without these at any time. He's unchanged. So the Lord's promised to be with you. The Lord's promised to be in the midst. These four scriptural facts are real. These four great neighbors. They are in this room tonight. His ministry's never changed. His power's never changed. His teaching has never changed. And his presence has never changed. You getting it? It's Hebrews 13 verse 8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe in God tonight? Are you really believing God tonight? I tell you, God's able to do it. Many times there's a struggle, there's a battle, but the Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. I want you to believe God tonight. His ministry has never changed, His power's never changed, His teaching's never changed, and His presence has never changed. There's nothing to match the presence of the Lord. I'm sure you'll all agree with me tonight. There's nothing like the Lord's presence. No matter what sort of a time you're going through, when the presence of the Lord comes upon you, everything else goes. We need the Lord's presence. And He's promised, if we're gathered in His name, He is in the midst, so His presence is here. I want you to expect His presence tonight when we come. We're going to sing whatever brother feels to sing. I want you to pull out all the stops tonight and really worship the Lord. Maybe Brother Mark will sing that song, "He Has Forgiven Me," when he comes. I'm going to pray before he comes. I want you to believe God tonight for the presence of the Lord. Don't fear. Be of good cheer. Let's close our eyes tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God, that it is our absolute. It's unchanging. You said in Malachi 3 and verse 6, "I am the Lord thy God, I change not." We believe Your word tonight, that You remain the same. You're forever the same. Lord Jesus, bless Your people tonight. Bless my brother, bless my sister. Whatever anyone's going through in this meeting tonight, You know their hearts and their lives. I pray that the presence of the Lord will be in this house tonight. Lord, as we come to close and worship You and praise You, I ask, Lord Jesus, as we sing, that Your presence will come to confirm Your word tonight. That You'll confirm Your word, Lord Jesus, with signs and wonders and miracles of the resurrected Jesus. We believe You tonight. Father, meet every need. Whether it's financial, or physical, or mental, meet every need, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, and for everyone praying this evening, secret prayers for different needs. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You'll meet with them tonight and answer them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother Mark comes.
Calvary, He has forgiven me.